and I very much appreciate the privilege, the honour of being here again, and appreciate the kind invitation of the brethren. Quite a number of folks have shaken my hand and given me a welcome here, and not a few have said, "How are you feeling?" And to be honest, I feel a little bit like a guinea pig. This is the first session, and we'll see how it goes. If we don't just get it right with the acoustics, you can be very tolerant and very generous in your judgments. It's a very commodious auditorium, and I also have a concern about the moderated lighting. It is very difficult to detect drooping eyelids. So I would ask, please do not be tempted to drift to dreamland at any stage of the meetings. Support us with as bright, white-eyed attention as you can possibly give. Now, I'd like to read from the Gospel according to Matthew, and three readings, the initial reading in chapter 14, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. And we've come into the section here at verse 28. Matthew 14 and verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" A verse from chapter 16, the same Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, and chapter 16. Verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence, thou art a stumbling block unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And thirdly and finally, chapter 26 of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 26. And the end of the chapter here, we read at verse 73. "And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." That's the reading that I want to take, we trust, with the Lord's blessing. I'm quite sure you've frequently heard about the sculptor, and he was given a commission by the city council to sculpt out of marble a horse, some equestrian event or some equestrian victory had been achieved. And in the centre of the city they wanted to have sitting a large marble horse. So the large block of marble was duly purchased, and the sculptor began his work. And he had been working for a day or so upon his task, his commission. And a friend came in to speak to him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, I'm going to produce a horse here." And the friend looked at the ungainly, large section of marble, and he said, How would you ever get a horse out of that?" So the sculptor said, "It's very simple." He said, "With this hammer and with this chisel," he said, "I chip away everything that is not horse." And he said, "When I have chipped away the non-horse pieces, I'm left with a perfect replica of the image that is in my mind." I've often thought about that illustration when we come to the Gospels, because the Lord Jesus chose a number of disciples. I'm thinking just now of the big fisherman, as Douglas called him. And I suppose we could say that Simon Peter was a piece of unhewn rough Galilean granite. And with consummate skill, the Lord Jesus took that man, he marked him, he made him, he molded him, he took a fisherman, made him into a disciple. The disciple became an apostle. The apostle became an elder. The elder became a martyr. And when Peter's earthly course was run, the skill of the heavenly consummate artisan could be seen in the marks that were made on Peter's life. So it is with us. Since the Lord has saved us, he would take the chisel and remove from us everything that is not Christ, and the finished product will reflect his image in stainless glory for all eternity. Now, what I want to look at this morning in this first session of the conference are three incidents from Peter's life, part of his molding, part of his training. And I suppose I could put as a kind of a title upon my little message, "Sad Starts or Bad Beginnings in the Service of Simon Peter." We have read, I know it's just a little idiom of language, and it appears quite frequently in Matthew's Gospel, but the three occurrences in connection with Peter have attracted my attention. In chapter 14 of Matthew's Gospel, we are told, beginning to sink. He's going down. He's beginning to sink. The process was not allowed to be completed. Beginning to sink. We have read in chapter 16 that he took the Lord Jesus and he began to rebuke. You can hardly believe it. But it actually happened that this great man, Peter, there was a day when he started in to actually correct and rebuke his Lord. He began to rebuke. That was also brought to quite a sudden halt. It's well that that particular start was not allowed to continue. The Lord Jesus, in turn, rebuked him with a very stinging rebuke. And I'm sure Peter shrank back and just called a halt to that process. Beginning to sink, beginning to stumble. And we have a third beginning in chapter 26. On the occasion of the third denial, it tells us he began to curse and to swear. That also was brought to a sudden halt. There was a problem with Peter's language, and it's well it wasn't allowed to continue. We'll see how it was halted just in a few minutes. Beginning to sink. Beginning to stray. Beginning to swear. Bad beginnings in the service of Simon Peter. Well, I hope the Lord will help us, because each one of those beginnings was interrupted by the gracious intervention of the Savior.
You know, the first occurrence, beginning to sink, we are told, the Lord caught him. And only for the fact that the Lord caught him, Peter would have gone under. On the second occasion, when Peter began to rebuke the Lord turned and he corrected him. And he pulled Peter up short and he reoriented Peter's sense of direction and Peter's perspective. The Lord corrected him. And on the third occasion, when Peter was beginning to swear, the words had scarcely left his lips until he heard the cock crow. And when Peter heard the cock crow, his memory jarred. He stopped and he went out and he wept bitterly. The Lord caught him. The Lord corrected him. The Lord challenged him. And I suppose part of my little message is not so much to think about a failing disciple, but to think about a faithful Savior. Only for the Savior's timely interventions in each of these bad beginnings, who can tell where it would have ended? And I'm sure there are quite a number of us in the auditorium this morning. We can reflect on the landscape of life. Those that have been on the way to heaven for at least a moderate amount of time, and we can detect occurrences and occasions when only for the Lord's timely intervention, maybe in a conference like this, we had beginnings. We had begun to swerve. We had begun to stagger. Maybe the Lord used a Toronto conference. Maybe He'll use this one. With timely intervention to halt a sad start in the life of some Christian. So I will say a little bit about this first occurrence. Peter beginning to sink. Did you ever feel you were sinking? Can I speak to all the Christians here, even some that are sitting a little far away? Could I appeal to you, dear believer, did you ever have within your heart a sinking sense that I'm losing my level spiritually? Did ever you have that sense that I'm going down and I'm losing my ground and there's something happening and I'm caving in, beginning to sink? Maybe there is a Christian here and you're beginning to sink in a sea of difficulty. The little bark of your life has been buffeted by the boisterous waves of life's experience. Bereavement, unemployment, unexpected redundancy. And in the tempestuous seas of life's experience, you feel, I'm just beginning to sink. I can't handle this. There's something going wrong and I'm going down. In the ocean of life's difficulties, you're beginning to sink. Would there be anyone here? And in the sea of life's doubt. In fact, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus said to Peter. He said, Peter, wherefore didst thou doubt? He said, those disturbing doubts that were lingering in your heart, he said, they were the root cause of your sinking. Maybe there's a student here. And you have been exposed to some of the modern thinking in the corridors of academia. And you rub shoulders in the cloisters of university life with very educated intelligentsia, and they absolutely despise a simple believer in the Bible. And they put a question mark over the Christian faith. And they ridicule the very things that you have come to love. And you're beginning to doubt. You're beginning to wonder, is it true after all? Is Christ really the Son of God? Can the Bible really be trusted? And you know that in your soul's experience, you are going down. You're beginning to sink in a sea of difficulty. beginning to sink in a sea of doubt. Maybe there is a Christian here, and you're beginning to sink in an ocean of discouragement. It has been difficult in the assembly. One or two have left. Some of the faithful have been called to higher service in glory. The workload is being carried by a few shoulders, and you're beginning to sink, and you're wondering in your heart, is it worth it? Is there any point going on? We're losing ground, and I'm going down. And you're just being swallowed up in an ocean of increased responsibilities. And you wonder, will I be able to cope with it? I have known in my life, times when I was coming to the meeting, times when I was trying to do a little bit of platform performance, times when I was keeping up quite an exterior front, and doing it well for the DVD. But beneath it all, I knew that I was sinking and things were going down. Is there anyone here and you're sinking in the sea of your spiritual devotions? You don't have your quiet time. And you've eliminated from your life that important start to the day when you listen as the Lord speaks to you through His Word, and you in turn speak to Him, and communications with heaven have been invaded by the intrusion of cyberspace. And instead of spending time with the Scriptures, you're spending time at the screen, maybe wandering into areas that are anything but healthy and anything but holy. And you're still keeping a Christian front, but you know that beneath it all, you're beginning to sink. Peter had reached a crisis point in his discipleship and in his spiritual experience when he saw the wind boisterous and beginning to sink. I feel there might just be a word, maybe for a young brother, maybe for a sister here, maybe in the assembly you're just about to call it a day. Tell the brethren that you won't be back. Maybe someone here and in the circle of your friendship, you're just about to embark upon a course that would eventually lead to an unequal yoke. You can remember the time when you were committed to the things of the Lord, but you're beginning to sink. Oh, I dare say that every believer at some stage or another knows a time when I'm not doing as well spiritually as I used to do, and things are going down. Can I just bring in a positive little note? Not only the crisis which he experienced, but thank God for the cry which he expressed. Beginning to sink, he cried, "Lord, save me." Turning unreservedly. Oh, you say it was a cry of desperation. Well, it may have been. Call it a cry of desperation if you will, but I think it was a cry of desperate faith. Turned and he called to the Lord. He said, "Lord, if you do not intervene here, I will be lost." Maybe can I speak again to my friend, my sinking friend? There may only be one, perhaps two, in this fairly large gathering, and you know that you're the sinking saint on this occasion. And you say, "What can I do?" I'll tell you what to do, dear believer. You get back in touch with the Lord. The reason you have begun to sink is that your eyes have lost their focus and your trust in Him has been diluted, and something has diverted your attention and divided your faith, and that communication with the Lord is not as healthy as once it was. Have you neglected prayer? In the busy world with so many commitments, with the hectic pace of life, with a working week, with a week crammed with commitments, how easy it is to push communion with the Lord onto the fringes. Peter again got back on speaking terms with the Lord. He cried, I like that. Beginning to sink. I couldn't tell you exactly where the water was. Was it at ankle level? And Peter said, "This is going too far. Lord, save me." Was it up to his knees? I don't think it was waist level. I don't think it was chest level. I don't think it was up to his chin. No, before it got too far, beginning to sink. It's great, dear Christian, when we have the spiritual energy and the spiritual exercise to make adjustments before things go in the wrong direction too far. Don't wait, my brother. Dear sister, don't wait until the water is neck level. As soon as you begin to detect the signs of sinking, when it's just around your feet and at the ankle level, you cry out, get into the presence of the Lord. It might be a quiet little bedroom somewhere in the privacy of your life, and bleed out your soul. Thresh it out with the Lord. Confess your sin. Cry to Him for His help. The crisis which Peter experienced, the cry which Peter expressed. And the third matter that I want to mention is the clasp. The clasp which Peter experienced. Immediately, the Lord stretched forth His hand and caught him. The Savior didn't say, "Peter, just you sink in your own juice. Just stay for a while until you're altogether floundering. Do your best." As soon as Peter made his appeal, there was an immediacy in the response of the great Christ. Immediately. My dear believer, can I say, if you get back to the Lord with a true attitude, cultivate the habit of prayer, get back to Him, open up the path of communication. Whatever rearrangement your timetable demands, you make it, and have those channels of communication clear between your soul and the sanctuary of heaven, and when you contact the Lord, immediately. The arm of omnipotence, and He clasped him. He caught him. And you know as well as I do, when Peter's hand or Peter's arm or Peter's wrist or whatever was in the grip of grace, there was no wind, and there was no wave, and there was no storm could ever dislodge Peter from the grip of grace that held him. Beginning to sink, he cried, "Lord, save," and immediately he stretched forth his hand and caught him. And I might just add before I leave that Peter sank on well-known water. There was hardly a man in the boat that day had a better knowledge of Galilee than Peter had. Every square inch of that lake was a place of frequent navigation for him. Mind you, dear Christian, we have to be very careful, because you could go down in waters that are familiar. Samson began to sink not very far from home, in the very valley where the Spirit of the Lord moved the young man between Zorah and Eshtahol. A few miles down the way, he began to sink. David began to sink within the confines of his own palace. Peter began to sink on the familiar waters of Galilee. I trust today that none of us will take life for granted. There are dangers on every side. You might think you can handle it. I might think I can handle it. We have to be careful. When we begin to sink, we need the Lord's help. And thank God that help is forthcoming, with immediacy, with security, with omnipotence. He caught him beginning to sink. But the Lord caught him. Secondly, and with brevity, beginning to stumble, but the Lord corrected him. I still find myself blushing a little bit. And I must confess that I personally have a great affinity with Peter. His little bit of rashness and irregularity resonates very closely with my own experience, or vice versa. And yet I still blush when I think of Peter taking the Lord aside. I wish I could go outside the line. Peter went off the line. Apologies to this. He went off the line and he said, "Lord, I need to talk to you here." And he began to rebuke the Lord. What had happened to poor Peter? The Lord said, "Peter, we are going to Jerusalem. I'm going to..." He said, "Lord, I'm sorry, that's a road that I don't want to walk." He said, "That might be the road that you're taking. That Calvary road with all its reproach and suffering." He said, "It doesn't suit me. It doesn't fit with my national prejudices. And it doesn't fit with my natural preferences. I don't like the thought of suffering and shame." He said, "Lord, that's a road that I resent." And Peter took a role. Not only the role that he resented, the role he adopted. He said, "Actually, Lord, I would like to tell you a thing or two." He said, "Lord, if you forgive me, I think you've made a mistake, Lord. I know you've said it. I know you've said it. But actually, I think of it." "Get thee behind me, Satan." He said, "Peter, you think you know, but you're challenging what I have just announced. You challenge with human reason, divine revelation." He said, "You don't like the path, the program." He said, "Peter, get behind me, Peter." He said, "Step in." He said, "You're not the leader of this." He said, "I'll choose the path." He said, "You stepped up beside me there and you took me aside and you told me to change direction." He said, "Peter, get in behind. Get thee behind me, Satan." He said, "You're not a leader here, you're a disciple." He said, "You don't choose the path for me. I choose the path for you." Well, all I say is this. I would imagine that Peter never got over that rebuke. I was saying that I blushed. I'm sure he blushed. "Get thee behind me." Fall into line, sir. Be a disciple. "Get thee behind me, Satan." The Lord could detect in the words of Peter the very hiss of Satan. "Thou savourest, thou thinkest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." He said, "Peter, your thoughts are human." He said, "They're worse. They're not only human," he said, "they're satanic." And he said, "I'm not going to accept your revised program." All I say as I leave that, dear Christians, is this. We're associated with a Christ whom the world has rejected. We would love to have an easier path. We would love to have a softer option. We would love to rewrite the program that the cross is first and then the crown. It's first of all the shame and then the sovereignty. We would like to rewrite the program. But that's the path the Master trod. And should not the servant tread it still? Dear Christians, we need not be expecting a place of velvet in this world. Happy reproach to share. Shame for his sake to wear. Since we the crown shall wear when he appears. We can rejoice in this. That when the Savior has his proper place in this world, we will have ours as well. We will be with him until he is reigning. We accept the place of rejection. And Peter was taken. Well, did you ever step out of line? I suppose I'm speaking to a few hundred people here and no one ever stepped out of line. Did you ever brass off and spout out and say things that were just off beam? And your perspective and your program was all askew and you needed... Sometimes, you know, the Lord catches us. When we're going down, sometimes he corrects us. Many a time I came to a conference like this, many miles from here, just as a boy, and there were men stood at a desk similar to this one, and through the ministry of the Word of God, I got a stinging rebuke. And I said, "Listen, David, you're on the wrong course there. You've made the wrong choice. You're plotting a dangerous path." And through the ministry, the Lord corrected me in no uncertain way. The preacher didn't know a thing about it.
But thank God the risen Lord directed ministry
that just rescued me. Oh, praise His name for the timely interventions of His grace. Thank God when we sink, He can catch us. When we stray, He can correct us. Beginning to swear.
Well, old Peter's language seemed to get off beam here. I don't think we should do him a disservice. I don't think he used obscenity. I don't think that Peter went into a volley of vile language. And he didn't use curse words. I think that's doing him a disservice. It's swear in the Bible sense of taking an oath, uttering an imprecation. He says, I don't know that man. And maybe just for half a second, it doesn't do any harm for us to remind ourselves of what exactly Peter's denial was. He never denied the Lord's deity. He never denied the Lord's person. What Peter denied was his relationship with Him. And he said, I'm in company here, and the most comfortable option for me is not to let on that I'm linked with Christ. And he used his language, these imprecations and these oaths and curses, to reinforce his position and to weave a garment of disguise so that these people wouldn't suspect him. Oh, that's it. Did you hear what he said? He mustn't be one of them. Do you hear the way he talked? Can I ask you, did you ever find yourself in company where the easiest thing was not to let on? And you dressed in certain clothes. And you used certain language. And you did certain things that were all calculated to prove I'm really not one of them. Beginning to swear. You know, sometimes with our lips, with our language, anyone here and your language is taking you off course. You've just begun. Oh, the beginnings of things. That's my exercise. Getting things corrected before they go. And as soon as Peter was in the process of taking these imprecations, the air was shattered with the crystal clarity of the cock crow. Twice, Peter said, that's it. He said, there's something wrong here. I'm going too far. He said, the Lord, I have used my voice. And he said, the Lord would use the rooster's voice. And he heard the signal. He said, I need to get out of here. And he went out. The speech that he employed, the signal that he heard, the sorrow that he felt, he went out and he wept bitterly. Well, I don't know. I'll have to stop and leave time for my dear brethren here. And I'll do that just now. But dear Christian, may God help us to examine our hearts and see the beginnings of things that are negative. Just the beginnings. And I hope that the Lord will raise a challenge, that He'll catch us in this conference. That He might correct us, that He might challenge us. Maybe there'll be a signal as clear as the cock crow that would just interrupt our ongoing activity. I might say, just as I do conclude, you know, the cock crow, like the boastful Peter, all right. But the cock crow was not only a signal of warning. A cockcrow is the signal of the dawning of a new day. You know, the Savior said, Peter, the signal that I have instituted to give you the warning, the alarm clock. This was the early morning alarm clock, cock-a-doodle-doo, that just caught Peter. The Lord's signal to say, Peter, Peter, it's time to awake. And it was also the signal of another day beginning. It was dark for Peter when he denied the Lord. But thank God the Lord challenged him. And he walks off the page of Matthew. The last thing we read of Peter in Matthew's Gospel, he went out. He wept bitterly. Walks off the page as just a man denied the Lord and broken in repentance. Maybe there'll be someone go home and weep after this conference.
The Lord would sound a signal that would reach your conscience and break your heart. If that is the case, well, dear believer, the conference would do you good. But I'm glad to tell you this. He doesn't walk off the page of the New Testament there. The sermons he preached, the letters he wrote, the death that he died. Bad starts. Strange starts in the life of Simon Peter. Sometimes we can begin to slip. And all I'll say as I leave the desk is this. He had bad beginnings at times. But you know, dear Christians, Peter finished well. He finished well. You say, how come? He finished well because of the timely interventions of the gracious Lord. Beginning to sink, but he caught him. Beginning to stumble, but he corrected him. Beginning to swear, but he challenged him. It's not so much a failing Peter, it's a faithful Lord. Thank God for Christ who never abandons us. May the Lord help us. Just a little word for beginning. Beginnings at the beginning of the conference. I trust the Lord will bless his word.